Good evening. Glad you could join us here on Maundy Thursday, a strange and weird Maundy Thursday, where we will not be celebrating the Lord's Supper, but we'll talk about that a little bit in the sermon. Also, we don't have any order of service per se from the hymnal either. We will be doing hymn 446. We'll also be doing Psalm 116, so you'll need your hymnals for that. If you have the opportunity to download from our Facebook page the bulletin that was there, that should have the entirety of the service there. So we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. During this Lenten season, we have heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggle against sin, death, and the devil, all that prevents us from trusting in God and loving each other. Since it is our intention to receive the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, if not on this night, when he instituted this blessed meal for our salvation, but when our Lord deems it good and right to bring us together once again to receive his gifts in full, it is proper that we complete our Lenten discipline by diligently examining ourselves, as St. Paul urges us to do. The Holy Sacrament has been instituted for the special comfort of those who are troubled because of their sin and who humbly confess their sins, fear God's wrath, and hunger and thirst for righteousness. But when we examine our hearts and consciences, we find nothing in us but sin and death, from which we are incapable of delivering ourselves. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy on us. For our benefit, he became man, so that he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and, to deliver us, took upon himself our sin and the punishment we deserve. So that we may more confidently believe this and be strengthened in the faith and in holy living, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." It is as if he said, "I became man, and all that I do and suffer is for your good. As a pledge of this, I give you my body to eat." In the same way, also, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Again, it is as if he said, "I have had mercy on you by taking into myself all your iniquities. I give myself into death, shedding my blood to obtain grace and forgiveness of sins, and to comfort and to establish the New Testament, which gives forgiveness and everlasting salvation. As a pledge of this, I give you my blood to drink. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, confidently believing this word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ and Christ in him and has eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Giving him our most heartfelt thanks, we take up our cross and follow him, and according to his commandment, love one another as he has loved us. As our Lord on this night exemplified this by love by washing his disciples' feet, so we, by our words and actions, serve one another in love. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink from the one cup. For just as one cup is filled with the wine of many grapes and one bread made from countless grains, so also we, being many, are one body in Christ. Because of him we love one another, not only in word, but in deed and in truth. May the Almighty and merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, accomplish this in us. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us spend a moment in personal reflection on God's word and for self-examination, imploring God our Father, for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us And for his sake, grant us remission of all of our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word. To the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. We continue with Psalm 116, either if you have it printed out here or if it's in the front of your hymnal. And printed out here, we have the entirety of Psalm 116. We're actually just going to start on verse 12. Verse 12. So Psalm 116, verse 12 through 19. 12 through 19.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. The Lord be with you. And with thy spirit, let us pray.
O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament, you have left us a remembrance of your passion. At the time in which you gather us around your word and sacrament once again, grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for Maundy Thursday comes from Exodus chapter 24. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the just decrees. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up. And they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief of men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 9. When Christ appeared as a high priest for the good things that have come, then through the greater and most perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who has made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 13th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around them. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garment and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should go do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to
confess our one true common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We now turn to hymn 446, Jesus Greatest at the Table. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for Maundy Thursday comes from our gospel reading of John. Jesus laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wrapped around him. Thus far the text. John gives us no words of institution. Perhaps it's because the other three Gospels had that covered. Or maybe it's because it's assumed. Maybe the entirety of John's Gospel has been alluding to the fact that the Lord's Supper is a constant reality in the life of a Christian. Maybe the entirety of who Jesus is and was and what he gives is continual and eternal, and it's a feast which will never end. Maybe John is trying to make it so abundantly clear that what is given and produced in the Lord's Supper takes eternal root in the one who has received it. Communion changes a man. It must. How can the body and blood of Jesus not? But still, it would be nice to hear the words of institution from John, just like it would be nice to have our congregation come together tonight and gather around the supper of our Lord. I would think that that would be better. I'm sure that that would be much better than what we're doing tonight. But then, I'm not God, so I don't really have the authority to stand up and say, what's better? John refrains from telling us about the Lord's Supper. And today, we're kept from receiving it in any normal sense, in any way that we're used to. Some of us have been able to come and make appointments to receive this blessed sacrament. Others aren't comfortable leaving the house. That's fair. Or some simply can't. They're locked down in care facilities with no way for them to come out and no way for the sacrament to go in. It's a strange time. It's a difficult time. It's a head-scratching, fist-clenching, depression-inducing time. It's all of these things and more. Everything changing. Everyone just staring into the unknown abyss. And I know, communion used to be a constant. Communion used to be one of those things that did not move around. You always knew where and when to receive it. And now, all of a sudden, all of that is taken away. What is the Lord thinking? Why do this? Those are the questions that we would like to ask, and yet those are the questions that will make us more confused, more angry, and less sure of what our Lord does do and give to us. For today, for right now, we've been given a fast of these things by our Lord. All right, fine. But that does not mean that we don't have anything. And hopefully, at the end of all of this, whenever we're able to come together once again, we'll all have a much greater desire for this blessed sacrament and never take it for granted again. In John's text, we have Jesus washing the disciples' feet. While it may be customary for a traveler's feet to be washed by a servant once they arrived at their destination, what the disciples don't seem to understand is that Jesus is and always has been the servant. Peter doesn't want Jesus to wash his feet. That seems too menial a task for Jesus to do. A master, a teacher, a Lord, the Christ, should not be bothered to do this humiliating and degrading thing. But this is the whole purpose for Jesus' incarnation. He is to be a servant, the servant, your servant. And we oftentimes get this backward. We think it's about us. We want it to be about us. We want to be the subject of the sentence when Jesus has so obviously made us the object. We focus on us serving God, us serving Jesus. We believe that that's what's most important, or at least that's what's expected of us. And if it were, though, we would be at a complete loss. How can I really and truly serve the Lord? What can I give to Him that He doesn't already have? How can I think that I have anything to offer to Him? I don't. I want to believe that I do, but we all know the truth of the matter. I need to be served by Him. I must have my feet washed by Him. I need to be cleansed and forgiven and made righteous by Him. And so He comes as my servant. A servant who makes his way to the cross, a servant who fulfills what must be fulfilled, a servant who serves completely and wholly and fully in every way. And here let us take a moment to ponder what Jesus actually does in our text for today. He makes himself a servant of the disciples. He washes their feet. He takes the feet of Thomas and washes them clean. Thomas, the one who will soon doubt and not believe. The one who's going to deny the resurrection for a whole week while everyone else is telling him that Jesus is raised from the dead. And Jesus takes the feet of the bold and outspoken Peter, who within a couple of hours is going to deny him three times, who is going to actually call down a curse from heaven upon himself to convince the world that he has no share with Jesus. And perhaps strangest of all, Jesus takes the feet of Judas. Jesus serves Judas, and he knows what's in Judas's heart. He knows that the devil had already turned Judas to betrayal. He knows that Judas was nothing more than a dirty, rotten, two-bit thief who would sell his best friend for the price of a three-day Vegas weekend. Even this sinner, Jesus serves. What an astonishing thing to behold. What love is this, that Jesus would serve sinners, that Jesus would serve those who doubt him, that Jesus would serve those who deny him, that Jesus would serve those who send him to the cross. And then we move our eyes from the page inward to the heart, and we see ourselves sitting there at this Paschal meal, taking the moniker of doubting Thomas as our own, of denying Peter as betraying Judas. Those names, those titles are as much ours as they are theirs. And while they might be quite jarring, these things to hear, and sobering to acknowledge, it's also quite extraordinary as well. Jesus came to serve the likes of me. And I can't even for one moment pretend that I'm not numbered with those blundering disciples. In the sinful flesh, they and I are one and the same. But if Jesus took the time to wash their feet, and not just took the time as if it were an afterthought, but specifically chose to serve them in the most servant way possible, then despite my shortcomings and sins, despite my inability to offer up any real service towards him, despite my doubting and denying and betrayal, Christ Jesus, my Lord, serves me, and he serves you too. This he did, and we all know it well, by going to the cross. Tomorrow we will hear all about that, from beginning to end. We'll hear about the false testimony and the kangaroo courts. We'll hear about thorny crowns and reedy scepters that are used to thrash. We'll hear of high authorities washing hands and treacherous deviants being set free. We'll hear of a servant bloody and beaten and hanging derelict from a tree. And it's good that we will, because this is how he has served us. But tonight we hear about foot washing, when all of us are expecting to hear about a supper prepared. And it might sound and seem like a bit of a joke. We might even be hurt that our Lord has deemed it good to prepare a fast for us instead of a meal. That's fine. Be hurt. Be angry and confused and upset. Present all of those things to your servant Savior, because all of them went to the cross with him. All of them were paid for by his blood. All of them were taken away, even if we still experience them and can't see beyond the fast to the meal that will certainly come again. For the Lord serves us by washing us clean. Perhaps our feet aren't soapy and sudsy. It would actually be silly if they were. But the service of Jesus washing the disciples' feet is twofold. First, it alludes to baptism. After Jesus tells Peter that in order to have a share with him, Peter must be washed by Jesus, Peter is cleansed by the blood of Christ, even if Christ's blood hasn't yet been shed. And you are too. Except for us, our baptisms, that's what we have to remember and thank the Lord for. No foot washing, just a head washing. What serves us is this, that even in the midst of a famine of the supper, we can return to our baptism and remember, and we can comfort ourselves with the fact that we are baptized into Christ. We don't pit one sacrament against the other. And we don't say, who needs the supper? I've been baptized. But instead we say with faithful hearts and with joyful minds, despite there being no supper, I have still been washed clean. And I wait patiently for the day in which my belly will be made full again by the loving hands of my servant Savior. So let us return for a second to the disciples and Jesus washing their feet. This is more than just plain service. Jesus is placing the disciples into the office of serving their neighbor in the best way possible. The 52nd chapter of Isaiah says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news, who publish peace, who bring good news of happiness, who publish salvation, who says to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" First and foremost, this is Jesus. But then also, too, this is the job of the disciples. They have the feet that will bring good news and publish peace and proclaim salvation, and their service makes its way through the ages to you. The apostolic proclamation of Christ crucified comes into your ears despite the coronavirus. Baptism into the triune name of God, it trickles down through the generations, still to be wetted upon your foreheads so that you might be washed clean by Jesus and have a share with him. And I know, of all the days, today should be the day in which the supper of our Lord is placed before us to eat and drink. But it's not. It will be. Soon. Even if not on this side of heaven, certainly in the heaven to come where the feast will have no end. So even now, on Maundy Thursday, we can rejoice in the fact that the next time we come together, it'll be Maundy Thursday. Because it'll also be Easter Sunday. Because it isn't about a day on the calendar, which changes depending upon the first full moon that comes after the spring equinox. But instead, it has everything to do with Jesus, the servant, your servant. And he serves you tonight, as always. But this time in your homes, even as you anticipate the day in which he will serve all of us, as a congregated congregation here in this sanctuary once again. The truth of the matter is, we are served by our servant Savior Jesus. We remember and we receive that tonight, even as we will do the very same thing on Good Friday and Holy Saturday and Easter Sunday. Because nothing can keep Jesus from serving us. Not our doubting, not our denying, not our betrayal, not even a virus. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you have the bulletin printed out, we continue with the litany. O Lord, have mercy. O Christ, have mercy. O Lord, have mercy. O Christ, hear us. God the Father in heaven, have mercy. God the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy. God the Holy Spirit, have mercy. Be gracious to us, spare us, good Lord. Be gracious to us, help us, good Lord. From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and the assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death, good Lord, deliver us. By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit the Comforter, help us, good Lord. In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment, help us, good Lord. We poor sinners implore you to hear us, good Lord. To rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit, we implore you to hear us, good Lord, to raise those who fall, and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed. We implore you to hear us, good Lord, to give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage and to have mercy on us all. We implore you to hear us, good Lord, to forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers. We implore you to hear us, good Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, we implore you to hear us. Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy. Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy. Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, grant us your peace. O Christ, hear us. O Lord, have mercy. O Christ, have mercy. O Lord, have mercy. Amen. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up, and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Who has believed what they heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors.